Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of EloquenceOnline.net in beautiful, crisp New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long walk but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon at warp speed, the Chief Operating Officer in charge of keeping life simplified, Tough Talking Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I am doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm excited about the show today. We're going to be talking to Chris Van Beek. He's joining us from Rye, New York. He's the Chief Executive Officer of U.S. Alliance Credit Union. Great example of what we talk about on this show all the time, the generational nature of this show. And you and I both get geeked up talking to young credit union leaders.
We do. And as a matter of fact, while you're talking to Chris, I am going to talk to Jane.
And tell people why you will be talking to Jane.
Because when you sit on the USA Alliance website for a certain amount of time and are idle, Jane pops across the screen and wants to know if there is something that she can do to help me.
Yep, and I love that because I'm not a big texter. I'm not a guy that does a lot of texting, but texting is absolutely one of the new languages of Generation Next, the digital citizen, and
you want to know something? You know, that generation gets a bad rap because individuals automatically assume that because this individual is texting, that they don't want to be in relationships and they're not very social. What it is that they are digitally social, and they are in relationships because the people they're in relationships with, I'm sorry, are other people who are also digitally, socially connected. It's not like they're talking to some blank screen or to some computer somewhere. They're actually engaging in another person. And it's not uncommon for individuals to localize their conversations to two or three people. So what we have seen is this proliferation that was Facebooking and everybody telling everybody in the whole world, you're seeing that this group is actually a lot smarter about their communication because they're saying, look, I want to use this technology, but I don't need to tell 8,000 people what I'm doing. I'll tell
exactly
the four or five people that are in my group that I'm texting to.
Exactly. Hey, folks, this is the Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? More and more, that means an audience in several different places, in several different delivery channels. Troy talks about it all the time, quote keepers. We can't, but if we could name the shows after they air, Troy just dropped a quote keeper on you, digitally social. That is a great way to put it. Today we're going to talk to a young credit union, 43 years old. Troy, when I asked him that, I was like, 43? Remember when you and I used to be the younger people on the show?
I don't even remember being 43, so
Go. Yeah, apparently I don't either. Hey, folks, this is the Power Performance brought to you by our friends at GoMarquee.com. April 28th through the 29th, April 30th through May 2nd, Marquee is getting their annual conference going out in beautiful San Diego. I've been there as a speaker. I've been there as an employee of Marquee. They bring in great speakers. They put on a great, great show. GoMarquee.com. Find out who's going to be there. You should be there if you're not going. Not you, Troy, but other people that are out there going to shows this year. Always a cool show. They're going to have one of the first female fighter pilots in American military history, an F-16 fighter pilot. Always fun stuff to talk about. Hey, folks, we are going to take a break, and when we get back up to Rye, New York, his name is Chris Van Beek. He is the CEO of U.S. Alliance Federal Credit Union. We'll go to him right after this.
You're listening to the Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
That is right. Digitally social. I love that. Hey, Chris Van Beek, how are you, sir?
Great. How are you?
Nice to have you on the show. For people that may not know, you tell us about you and your career with credit unions.
Well, I've been with U.S. Alliance now for about 2.5 years. However, prior to that, I'd worked for Digital Federal Credit Union as kind of the head of IT, compliance, audit, risk management. The way I always kind of describe myself is I'm kind of a reformed banker. And what I mean by that is it's kind of one of the tougher situations where I actually had grown up as an FDIC bank examiner, a Federal Reserve Bank examiner, and then had this really great opportunity to come join Digital Federal Credit Union in the IT area and just found similar products, similar services, but just a whole different philosophy on how to do business. And I was really drawn to it. So.
Right. That sounds interesting. I mean, you know, typically you actually will become a poster child for individuals coming from IT to actually move to the CEO position. You don't hear that, you know, very often. Typically it's an individual from marketing or it's from finance because they have, you know, strong backgrounds either working with people or working with that. But I think that you might even start seeing a little bit more of a trend of that with the dominance of technology in the workforce. Do you see that a little bit yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have a degree actually in finance, and actually I grew up in a very kind of tech-savvy family, dating back to those old mainframe computers. And I actually swore I'd never get into technology as a kid because my father used to travel all over the world. I wouldn't see him all that much. However, you know, as I got going in a real career, I was kind of drawn to it because not only do I know it, but I really enjoyed it. And, you know, particularly at some of the more progressive credit unions like Digital, you know, technology is a very kind of core element of what you do. And then you take it a step further when you start getting scale, it's even more important. So, you know, from the standpoint of, I think, industry-wide, the seat at the senior management table for a technology person has certainly grown. And, you know, what I share with all my technology folks here at U.S. Alliance is, you know, it's important to have the technical skills, but it's equally important to be able to articulate it, to be able to have respect and understanding of the side of the house, and understand the basics as it relates to finance. You don't have to be a financial, crackerjack, but you certainly need to understand the impact of some of the investments that we're making in technology. So I see a huge wave of this changing in technology being more of a critical success factor in selecting new CEOs.
And I think what you're talking about is you're talking about the voice, know, that's representative is when you say it's not just technical, it's also about being able to tell the story and communicating. It's about the voice. And so that kind of leads me to the question that I wanted to ask you a little bit about. You know, a couple things, you know, so technology voice. So, you know, when we're on Star Trek, you know, you get that sexy female voice and it's, you know, and she has a voice that's sort of, you know, up and down. When I grew up, the technical voice of the individual was, "Hello, this is the computer. How may I help you?" So, I mean, you know, so now if you kind of imagine that I spoke with the "Hello, how are you? May I help you?" technical voice to what we're seeing now is a much more vibrant voice. You might even consider it a young voice. Do you think there's room in the credit union for both of those voices? And do you think that you need to try to balance the two of them in order to communicate with the consumer? Or where do you see that happening?
Well, it's a great question. I almost make the parallel to like PDAs or you know, the phones we all have, the iPhones and Androids and all that. If you scroll back, let's say 10 years ago, you know, the Palm Pilot came out, and you know, a few of us, the geek folks, you know, I was one of the first generation Palm Pilot people, and used to talk to people and say, "Hey, everyone's going to have these, you know, 10 years from now," and you know, maybe it wasn't Palm Pilot, but it's now iPhone and Android. I look at the voice as it relates to technical, you know, so that Android-type voice you're describing as a natural evolution as well. And maybe while voice technology hasn't evolved at the same pace that some of the other technologies have, I think just natural language, you know, the ability to actually have a conversation, the ability to understand, and the technology is just there, that you're not having to adapt to it, that it's actually adapting to us socially. is really where the whole industry is going.
I'll tell you what, you just said something that sparked a memory. First of all, I've worked with Digital Credit Union. I've been up there. I've done sessions for Digital. When I saw that in your bio on LinkedIn, I remember that I had done an event for them a long, long time ago. Digitally social, this phrase just keeps sticking in my mind about this, and you just talked about it. I remember the Palm Pilot. I had one of the first ever Palm Pilot-style cell phones. And Chris,
you had the first
was,
abacus, but we're not keeping score.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm telling you, Chris, it was simple. I mean, yes, you had your contacts, but when you touched the contact, it didn't make you the offer to call that contact. You literally had to see the contact, jot down the number on a piece of paper, and then go back to the phone part of the thing and call that person. And yet, at the time, I was like, wow, I remember I was in Wyoming, I think in 2006, and they had door prizes on the last day of the conference, and somebody won a Palm Pilot. And this is 2006 or 2007. And when the person walked up to get it, Chris, it's like somebody had handed them a horseshoe. They were just shocked. Like, what am I supposed to do with this stupid thing? You know, what this is. You know, it ended up in the little trash can that you find in hotel rooms, and it was nobody's fault. Nobody saw the technology changing as quickly as it did. When we get back from the break, I want to ask you about, despite all these technological changes, there is a simplicity to banking and business in general, and we'll do it all right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
You know, you talk about sexy female voices. Troy and I have been rolling like that for a long time on this show. Hey, Chris, listen. You talked about technology, about putting technological and IT people in these leadership positions now. Again, when I went out to Digital, this might be 2003 or 2004, no Facebook, no Twitter, no smartphone. Internet was based upon them having a cable hanging up in the closet of the hotel room that I could plug into. Despite all of that, 10 years later, banking continues to be very simple. Take care of your member owners and hire the right people. How are you doing that at your credit union?
Well, it's a great, great comment, and it's oh how true. I mean, it really boils down to culture for U.S. Alliance. And when I say culture, I mean, I think you could kind of refer to it in terms of athletic skills almost. You know, if we're finding the right athlete, that's the critical part. And, you know, technical skills are important, but if your heart's not in the right place, it really isn't probably a good fit. And to build that cohesive team, so whether you're in HR, whether you're in accounting, whether you're in IT, the idea that the cross-departmental boundaries today, although they exist, they don't need to exist because we're working much, much more collaborative. So the concepts are the same. The products are the same. The only difference that I see in terms of building that team is really just focusing on that culture item and the delivery channels. I mean, the delivery channels that we're using today are simply extensions of what we had done in the past. So, you know, we already talked about the Palm Pilot, and that was 10 years ago. And you kind of move forward, and you're looking for, the iPhone or the Android. And, you know, maybe a few years from now, it'll be a wristwatch phone, or it'll be, Google Glass or what have you. And I think hiring employees that are really diverse and have the spectrum of, you know, kind of traditional banking, traditional credit union, and then, you know, modern, that, you know, folks that this is the first time they've opened a checking account, and we want to get their perspective on things.
So, Chris, how do you build the technology aspect into your strategic planning goals?
Well, we as a senior management team, really meet fourth quarter of the year and kind of experiment, and we try to buy products and services ahead of time that we think might be of value in the future. A great example of that, and maybe somewhat embarrassed to admit this, but I actually purchased Google Glasses yesterday and hope to get them in a few days. And the idea, I don't know if you're familiar with those, but we actually, as a senior team, probably take them out and play with them on an offsite and just see if this has any relevance to where the credit union is going in the future. If nothing else, it's a fun kind of way to kind of enjoy the day and kind of think tank type environment. But if we come upon it and say, hey, wait a second, now this would be great for some extension of mobile banking, and then look to put together some kind of a business plan that we would then present to the board at the end of the year for incorporation in next year's plan. So it's a combination of traditional and a little bit of innovation in there as well.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned this Google Glasses, because we just discussed that at a strategic planning session that we had, and some of the security issues that our team brought up were the concerns that if this really hits and consumers wear them, then they're concerned that the consumer would actually be able to zero in on computer screens and actually digitally print information by maybe using some sort of photograph option that will come with the glasses. So it really, all of a sudden for me, it was sort of like, wow. Immediately, my first reaction was yours. I'm thinking like, God, this is really cool. This is going to be really great. This will be really cool. Then I get the other people bringing back to reality going, no, don't you understand? People are going to use it for the wrong reason. And I kind of think about technology that way and advancement of science and so forth. There's always this balance between what is designed for the common good and how people can twist it and make it work, in a bad way.
Agreed. I mean, I make a little parallel there to remote deposit capture. I was actually pretty early on in using remote deposit capture about 8 years ago now, and very early in the process. And it was funny, the industry mindset at the time was, oh, there's going to be rampant fraud. And I can tell you that the system that was originally got off the ground is now over $1 billion in deposits.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I don't think there's a single dollar fraud loss specific to the RDC portion of the technology. So the risks are real, but I think if you put the right controls in place and mitigate them and manage them, they can be outweighed by the benefits. So
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I remember when remote capture came out. I remember USAA Bank was one of the first people that offered it, and I had the same thought. Well, I'll just make up a pretend check and take a picture of it, and man, that money's going to go in my account. And of course, like you said, no, there were controls in place. There was the micro line that couldn't be easily replicated. I'll tell you what, I think one of the great casualties in innovation during the Great Recession was, I think sometimes as an industry, banking or credit union or otherwise, sometimes we were actually cynical of success. We're skeptical of people that have been successful using technology and finding that right. We've used that word balance on this show 5 or 6 times today. When I asked you how old you were, I was only curious because we love the generational dynamic on this show. I think what we're trying to figure out right now in the credit union marketplace is how to make this, again, balance between tradition and innovation and allow them to work together, again, a musical concept, in concert with one another. If you had a chance to sit down, again, in that town hall style, that think tank style, and address 50 credit union executives that were older than you, 50s and 60s, and maybe 50 that were younger than you, 30s and 20s, what would you tell them?
Well, I tell them all to kind of think of it as, a traditional sports event. And what I mean by that is, whatever it is, basketball, football, what have you, and there's always two parts to the game. There's the offensive part and the defensive part. And no matter where you sit generationally, if all you're focusing on defensive pieces, so RDC, fraud, that kind of thing, oh, it's risky, we can't do it, and vice versa, offensively, hey, let's just implement this technology and not worry about it and score some points, neither strategy works by itself. You really need both sides of the game. So, you can score 1 million points, but if you can't, stop someone scoring points on you, you're probably going to lose in the end, and vice versa. If all you're worried about is defense, you're never going to get ahead. So, I like to draw on that analogy. And, you should never just, take a very, very hard stance and say never, because I find that every time someone takes those hard stances, they're usually wrong. But if they keep a nice, fair, balanced, open mind and might not be the right time, it may be 10 years off yet, but I think having both sides is really important for the successful organization.
And, normally at this point I would kind of wrap up a little bit, but because you are a techno god, I am going to ask you another question here.
Sure.
So when we talked about Palm Pilot, which, of course, for some of us might equate to the Captain America movie that we just saw this past weekend, which was awesome, by the way.
And, I didn't see it.
But I wanted to talk about, the Palm Pilot and its demise and BlackBerry. Do you think that the Palm Pilot and the BlackBerry have similarities in their in the fact that they're really not as powerful as they were when they were first introduced because they didn't keep up with something? Or were they just a stopgap that got us to something else and it's just part of the evolution where on the food chain somebody is going to get eaten at some point in time anyway?
I think there's two different stories there, myself personally. I mean, I think Palm Pilot was a natural evolution that it, you know, was an early adopter and you know, weren't necessarily able to evolve at the rapid pace that needed to happen. On the other hand, BlackBerry, I mean, I was a raving fan of BlackBerries, and I, you know, think that there were in many respects a superior product. However, I think it goes back to what we were just talking about defensively. Their strong suit was all about defense. That was all about security and functionality and related, and they didn't want to evolve into more of an open platform where apps were being developed by third parties and related. And I think that was really their demise. And although they kind of got it on the tail end, it was, you know, kind of too little too late. So, you know, if you simplify the discussion, you have to have both sides of the game. You have to have the offense and you have to have the defense for long-term viability.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're talking about sports metaphors. Troy and I are both big sports fans. We're Pittsburgh Steelers fans. You know, we're getting ready for the NBA playoffs that get started this year. I think the San Antonio Spurs on a collision course with destiny to win the NBA championship. They should have won last year if Kawhi Leonard had just hit that free throw, and I will never forget back in 1999 when the Spurs won their first championship, I was listening to the radio and they did an interview with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20, and they were asking him how he stayed connected with his girlfriend, and he said BlackBerry. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I had absolutely no idea what a BlackBerry was. How do you use a piece of fruit to connect with your girlfriend? And I just
We're not going any further on that.
No, but it was where the rumor before the rumor became the reality. But the reality was so short-lived when you compare BlackBerry to Apple and, you know, Palm Pilot to Apple. Well, anyway, and all that kind of stuff. Hey, listen, we love music on the show. Chris, this has been a fascinating interview. We always love ending the interview with, like, a personal question. If you could see one show or one concert this year, what would you go see?
Well, I've actually already seen it. My had the rare opportunity to go see Switchfoot at Terminal 5 in New York City about 3 weeks ago. Outstanding show. Loved it. If I have another opportunity, I'd love to go see Imagine Dragons. But
Imagine Dragons. Our the president of Eloquent Online, that is her intro music, is Imagine Dragons. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Hey, listen, Chris, this has been a fascinating interview. I talked to Troy several months ago about, is 30 minutes the new hour? We don't want to be on the show. We don't be on the radio too long. But sometimes I wish we did do an hour-long show. If people want to talk to you, if people want to pick your brain and find out how you've balanced this technology and this marketing and this innovation and tradition, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Now, always email. Should I give email?
Oh, please. Please do.
Sure.
Please do.
It's K Van Veek. It's K V A N B as in boy, E E K, @, and it's usalliance.org.
And you're on LinkedIn. You're in all the social sites and stuff like that. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. We wish you nothing but continued success personally and professionally. And on behalf of Troy and myself, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, 5 minutes left. We'll wrap it up right after this.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue.
Great interview. Great subject matter. Troy, I'm going to get on that website later today to see if I can talk to Jane.
I'm telling you the truth. I mean, it was just like when I saw Jane flop across that screen, I was like, you know, I don't talk to Chris anymore, you know. Jane be fine with me. So
I'll tell you what, it is. You and I have been doing, we said back at the beginning of the year, we're in our fifth year of doing the show. When we met back in 2006, we did not talk about Facebook. I don't even think we talked about social media. It was just internet banking and bill pay and the lobby and the drive-through. Life was so simple back then. And here we are many, many years later, just we're still trying to figure it out, aren't we?
Yeah, but, you know, it is part of the process. You know, the simplification continues to be part of the evolution. So it is, you know, part of what happens. And I really enjoyed the opportunity just to get Chris's perspective on, you know, technology and how, as a senior leader and the ultimate leader of his organization, where he might be able to take technology where other individuals might be a little more leery of it. I think he'll bring a fresh and different perspective to the advantages of technology because he understands the balance that's necessary in both the risk and what's there to gain. And I really appreciated that multiple times, you know, when he sort of talked about it. And, you know, the thing, when he used the sports analogy, it was just perfect because it's like you don't go into a game and you only have offense or you only have defense because you have to have a balance of both. You know as well as I do how ridiculous it is when you watch a game, like in football, and your team is scoring and there's no defense and the other team is catching up. So it's like every time you get ahead, it didn't matter because somebody negated it. So it is really so important to have both of those teams firing, you know, in order to make you successful. So,
well, thank you so much for reminding me about the Pittsburgh Steelers secondary for the past 5 years. But no,
yeah, no, can't help that.
Yeah, the reality is we talk all the time about that word balance, and I think sometimes it gets overused. But I love the sports analogy on offense, on defense, doing both well. Both parts of the business plan have to occur and have to be done with precision. I was just, you know, listening to everybody. This is a credit union that started out in the cafeteria of IBM.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they set up that day with envelopes and paper payments and, you know, whatever it was at the lunch table, nobody had any idea where technology was going to take us as a people and as a nation and as a business. And I always enjoy talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too. I really do. So, yeah, love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. It is Easter week. I will be off on Friday for Good Friday. Troy, do you have any big plans for the Easter weekend?
Yeah, we have family in town, so it will be all that fun stuff where we look to celebrate the truth that was exposed over 2,000 years ago.
Over 2,000 years ago. Just a fascinating narrative, a combination of political events happening in a far outlying province of the Roman Empire. It is April 16th, 2014. Every time you write down a date, you put your date on a check or make a calendar entry, you are acknowledging the beginning of time, 2014 years ago, on Calvary. If you've got family coming in, if you're spending time with people, enjoy it. It is the Easter weekend. I want to thank Chris Van Beek from USA Alliance. Troy, I always listen back to the show, and I'm looking forward to listening back to this interview so very much.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. And, you know, and Chris is in a really great spot. His credit union is about $750 million, so he's not just a small player in the market. So he really has an opportunity. I'm going to follow this. I really want to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, me too. And speaking of next week, our good buddy from North Carolina, Jim Blaine, is coming back next week to talk about RBC. Every credit union CEO I've talked to off the air is talking about this. It is a hot topic. And Troy and I will continue to do what we always do. We'll bring you the best information, conference quality information without the expense report. And until next we speak, Troy and I will talk to you next week.